Quartz publication, published on May 15, 2016, posed a question. And that question is, what is the sign of a life well lived? What is the sign of a life well lived? According to neuroscientist Jack Panksepp, there are 7 core instincts in human brain that drive our actions. 7. They are anger. We see them in the news about road rage and how easily people shoot and kill another simply because of anger. Fear is another motivating factor that drives our actions. The third one is panic. Grief. When we experience death in the family, it motivates us to do something. Another one is maternal care, is another one. Pleasure or lust are other ways of moving us to do something. The sixth one that triggers us is to act is play. The young usually are greatly motivated to play something. We commonly see them on children here desiring to have fun, and that triggers them to do something because they want to play all the time. Lastly, the one that motivates, that drives us to action is seeking. Of all the 7 cores that drives human action, Mr. Panksepp says, seeking is the most important. He added that dopamine, a neurotransmitter linked to reward and pleasure, is the seeking drive involved in coordinating and planning activities. Whether we are striving for a new job, more meaningful relationship, or personal enlightenment, we want to seek something more to live well actively. Neuroscience shows that the act of seeking itself, rather than the goals we realize, is the key to satisfaction. Human desire to seek can help make sense of studies showing that achieving significant goals like building our dream house, or becoming a lawyer or a doctor, or even winning the lottery, he said, does not, unfortunately, cause a long-term change in happiness. Take, for example, a high school student who dreams of becoming a doctor and he'll be happy. All his desires, one day to become a doctor, but when the time comes and he indeed becomes a physician, his level of happiness changes. And if he's not careful, he becomes unhappy and unfulfilled. This is not to say that to desire to one day become a doctor or an engineer, a lawyer or a banker is not actually wrong. In fact, they are sound and worthy of our admiration. But we humans are wired differently, so to speak. And there is always a need for something more to be happy and fulfilled. According to Evan Thompson, a philosophy professor at the University of British Columbia, says the entire field of philosophy can be seen as an expression of seeking impulse. He said, and I quote, "If you are an artist, there are always new modes of expression, new things to create and communicate." And he said, "The world is not fixed. It is always changing. So that means you and I have to create new things or ways to do something in the light of the changes." He further added, "I don't think any good scientist thinks that one day science will come to an end. Science is about questioning new ways of looking at things, new devices, that is entirely an open-ended issue." The innate human desire to see means that we can never fully, truly feel that every desire and wish has been met, isn't it? Just like my wife, there will never be an end of making to-do list. Future goals and plans, the things we want to achieve and see. But the fact that we don't have everything we want is exactly what makes life so fulfilling. But the question is, why is it that in our nature is to seek? What is the purpose why we have to quest this quest to seek? Psychologists and philosophers can come up with so many ideas about why humans are built to have an innate quest for seeking something. But unless man looks upon God's word for answers, they will come up with so many reasons why and will find no answers for its purpose, isn't it? Only from God's word, the Bible, can we find the answer as to why we have the quest to seek that will answer the questions, what is a sign of a life well lived? The spring holidays are soon coming upon us, and I believe it is fitting to speak about this subject before Passover time. So the title of my message today is, What Do We Seek? What do we seek? There is only one Greek word, seek, in the New Testament. It is zeteo, Z-E-T-E-O, zeteo. It means in English, to go about, to find, to desire, to endeavor, to inquire. And in Hebrew, it is to worship God. An example of seeking is at one time when our phone is not with us and we realize we have misplaced it somewhere, our hearts drop, isn't it? And we hurriedly seek where it is. Only when we finally found them did we feel a sigh of relief. That is seeking. It is interesting to note that one day, John the Baptist, who was with one of his disciples and Andrew, saw Jesus and said something to them that led them to follow Jesus. And he asked them something. Please turn with me to John 1 verse 35. It is about this seeking. John 1 verse 35. Again, in verse 35, again, the next day, John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples. And verse 36, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. So, John the Baptist said to his two disciples, Behold, the Lamb of God. In verse 37, the two disciples heard him, John the Baptist, speak, and they followed Jesus. And as Jesus must have been walking, notice somebody was following him, said in verse 38. Then Jesus turned in verse 38, and seeing them following, said to them, What do you seek? It's funny, perhaps they were caught by surprise that Jesus suddenly asked them a question, and they had to say something because they were caught in the surprise. I am like that sometimes. Whenever my wife says something and I don't get it, my immediate response was to say, yeah. Then she will ask me, what did I ask? I say, what was it again? Jesus did ask the two a question, what do you seek? He did not ask them, whom do you seek? But what do you seek? In essence, Jesus asked them, What do you see? What is it you want? What is it you are after? What is your pursuit in life? Perhaps there were a number of people around them at that time and wanted to hear more from him privately, and said the second half of verse 38. And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And in verse 39, he said, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. What do you seek? This is the question we need to answer during this time the Passover comes upon us this April. What do we seek? For some, we seek happiness. We seek success, isn't it? In our profession, we seek good health. We seek money to pay our debts. We seek healing. We seek retribution for all the wrong things we have unjustly received. We seek justice. We seek forgiveness for our faults and sins. We seek peace in our life. We seek so many things, isn't it? Apostle Paul, when he spoke in Athens, said something unique why man's quest is to seek and where he need to seek to. Please turn with me to Acts 17, verse 26 and 27. Acts 17, verse 26 and 27. And this scripture tells us the reason why we were made is so that we will seek our Creator. Acts 17, verse 26 says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Notice verse 27. "So that they should seek the Lord, and in the hope they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." Brethren, we came from one blood, saying here, and his name in the Bible called Adam. And from him came all of us. And because God loved the world, and he created and allowed each person to be born at the best time in history, under the best circumstances, to accomplish only his purpose. Allow me to repeat that, because I think it's very important. Because God loved the world, he created or allowed each person to be born at the best time in history, under the best circumstances, to accomplish only his will. Abraham was 75 years old when he first received the promise that he would be a great nation in Genesis 12, verse 4. 25 years later, when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90, when the promised son Isaac was born, 25 years later. In that 25 years, Abraham saw that the hand of God moves in his life. His faith on God grew with him through time. He was born at the best time in history, under the best circumstances, to accomplish God's purpose. That was why he was ready to sacrifice Isaac as commanded to him by God. Had he been tested in his younger years, he might have faltered. We'll never know. But what we know, he passed the test of God. We were also called into God's truth in a particular time, particular place, and circumstance in our life. Some of us were called into the church in a strange way, on a strange circumstances. But whatever ways we come into contact with the church, it behooves us to realize that we were called into God's church according only to God's purpose to fulfill in our lives. And part of that purpose is to seek God. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. to see that our calling into truth and to accomplish God's purpose was made before time began. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. God, in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Having that in perspective, we can better appreciate what Jesus said in John 4 verse 23 about His true worshiper must be doing. John 4 verse 23, He said, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." So to seek God is to worship Him. And we worship Him in spirit and in truth. But the question is, how do we seek God? In what way can we seek Him? The following are five ways we can seek God spiritually. Number one, prayer. Prayer is a beautiful tool that God teaches us where we can speak to Him in faith. Through prayer, I know we know this, we can tell God our problems and difficulties. We lay before God in prayer all our woes and anxiety, our pain and our sufferings, and ask for mercy to bestow upon us in time of need, isn't it? But limited as we are, we can only see so much on what's going on with our lives. But God can see our predicament, and we can see also who would like to hurt us. Praying to God is seeking God. The following are some scriptures that God wants His people to talk to Him in prayers. Please turn with me to Proverbs 15 verse 29. Proverbs 15 verse 29. I know some of us already know this scripture. He says in verse 29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous." Again in Romans 8, 26. Romans 8, 26. He says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Isn't it sometimes when we pray, we find it hard to say what we want to say? Sometimes we just shed tears. That verse says the Spirit that is in us takes over our prayers to God. It expresses our thoughts to God in expression that we cannot say, isn't it? Verse 77 says, "Now He, our older brother, Jesus Christ, who searches the heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, intercedes us to the Father whenever we pray. And we can see that in Philippians 4 verse 6. Philippians 4 verse 6. It says here in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, to Christ Jesus. The second way we can seek God is through fasting. Fasting, brethren, is an effective tool for seeking God. In fact, one of the most effective ways to be near God is to be in the state of fasting. Please turn our Bibles to Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. And as you read the scriptures in our Bible, allow me to read them in the Amplified Bible version. For it clearly says it all about seeking God in fasting. In the Amplified Version, he says, of Joel chapter 2, verse 12, as you read that in your Bible, "Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, until every hindrance is removed, and the broken fellowship is restored. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And he even revokes his sentence of evil when his conditions are met." Verse 14, "Who knows? He will turn and revoke your sentence of evil and leave a blessing behind him, giving you the means with which to serve him, even with cereal or meal offering and the drink offering for the Lord your God." The third way to seek God is through meditation. Meditation, brethren, on God is one impeccable trait of David. In his bed, he considers the hand of God guiding him. He may not be perfect. David is not perfect. But his life tells us that God was his guide and salvation. And David was so near to God because he always sought God. Please turn with me to Psalm 63, verse 6. Psalm 63, verse 6 says, David says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice." Verse 8, "My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." Also in Isaiah 26, verse 3, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah says here in verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Those who meditate on God, God will keep him in perfect peace. It is spiritually healthy for us, brethren, to have time to meditate on God and the life he is leading us. Meditation helps us to see things in perspective that we usually cannot make sense of it. The fourth thing to seek God is Bible study. Studying the Bible, which is the Word of God, allows us to see what is and what is not acceptable to God. We study the Bible to seek and be near God and know how to conduct ourselves in different situations in life. We learn the Word of God by studying them, isn't it? Through Bible study, we learn the bitter lessons the people in the Scriptures live and the success they experienced when they followed God's command. We learn how not to and prevent ourselves from repeating the same mistakes as some people in the Bible did. So studying the Bible teaches us how to make our lives acceptable to God. whenever we study the Bible, we in fact seek to know what is acceptable to God. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says here, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The fifth and the last way we can seek God is the word of God itself. In Hebrews 4 verse 12, tells us that the word of God is alive and powerful to help us seek Him. It says in Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This scripture tells us that there are times when the people of God find themselves in difficult and complicated situations and then go seeking God for answers. Complicated as they may appear, the Word of God is a tool that helps us rationalize what seems to be unsolvable problems in our lives. So as we continue seek God through His Word, we eventually grow spiritually, and it tells and helps us discern God's will, and in some way or another, discern the intents of people's heart we come in contact with. Please turn with me to Amos 5 verse 4. For some important message, this verse 4 of Amos 5 is an important message of God to the house of Israel. Verse 4 of Amos 5, thus says the Lord God of Israel, seek me and live. More than ever, brethren, America needs to seek God to live. The question is, will they? For the people of God, this coming Passover and the days of the unleavened bread, let us think about these things and seek God through prayer or fasting or meditation or in Bible study and using and applying the Word of God in our lives. And for those who are seeking God, us, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is a message for you and for all of us about seeking Him. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. It says here, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, verse 12, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Notice verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. What is the sign of life well lived? The sign of life well lived is having peace with God foremost. To seek God is to have a future and a hope. And that hope of eternal life, isn't it, brethren? Happy Sabbath.